Who doesn't dream of being a genius? Or maybe even better, the parent of a genius. Truth is, just about every parent has had the experience of, well, sitting at a piano recital or a soccer game, feeling secretly thrilled by their child's performance. Until that kid shows up. You know which one. The one who plays a Beethoven sonata flawlessly from memory at age 8. Or looks like a baby Beckham or a Mia Hamm on the soccer field.
We've all had that experience of seeing people who seemed especially good at an early age.
Jeffrey Colvin's the author of the book Talent is Overrated. Those kids at the piano recital? Colvin says it's too soon to tell if they have what it takes to be a genius.
Here's the trouble. What the research shows is that you can't tell. And in fact, there has been work on piano players as kids. And one of the things it found was that if you looked at those who became really great, and by that I mean those who were in the world-class piano competitions, the Van Cliburn or the Leventritt, the top global piano competitions, if you looked at them back when they were, say, 11 years old, on average they had been taking piano lessons by that time for 5 or 6 years, and you would suppose if they had this incredible natural ability, you would certainly have seen it after 5 or 6 years of training. But no one could have predicted at the age of 11 or 12 who the great ones were going to be.
Now, if you're like me, you're listening to this and thinking, what about Mozart or Tiger Woods? History's full of people who were truly, undeniably great from day one.
Yes, we often feel that Mozart was an incredible genius, but here's the thing to remember. He was receiving intensive training for hours a day from an excellent teacher whom he lived with every day from the age of 4. He didn't go to school like other kids. He was trained at home by his father to become a great musician for hours and hours a day. In other words, Mozart, far from contradicting the thesis about where great performance comes from, seems to be a perfect example of it.
I think we tend to look at our heroes, Michael Jordan, Mozart, Darwin, and think, oh, they just popped out as geniuses. That's not true.
Carol Dweck is a psychologist at Stanford University. She spent years trying to figure out the secrets of success. By now, we've all heard the famous recipe, 10,000 hours. That's how much practice it takes to get really good at something, maybe even world-class good. But Dweck says that's not quite right. It's not just 10,000 hours of practice you need. It's a specific kind of practice.
You can hardly find anyone who made a great creative contribution without years of overcoming adversity and setbacks. Anyone who gets to be called a genius is usually someone who, not someone who wasn't talented, sure they were talented, but they took their talent somewhere with their passionate dedication. They pushed out of their comfort zone. It's something that psychologists call deliberate practice, constantly pushing out of your comfort zone.
The term deliberate practice is very specific. What it means is you always have to be pushed just beyond what you can currently do. Now, that means you're doing things that you don't quite know how to do, and that means you will fail. You will make mistakes. It will be painful. It won't be a lot of fun. You won't have the great satisfaction of watching that shot that you know how to hit, you know, fly beautifully into the air. You'll constantly be making mistakes.
It takes a lot of fortitude to make yourself practice like that. So maybe geniuses are people with a talent for making themselves fail over and over again. Carol Dweck says there's something in that, but the trick is to learn how not to cringe at failure, which turns out to be a teachable skill. At Stanford, she and her team run workshops in which they teach children how to fail.
What we have found is that praising your child's intelligence is bad. It backfires. It makes the children not want challenging tasks they could learn from. They don't want to make a mistake. They don't want to look bad. So what do we do instead? My research shows praise the process the child engaged in. effort, strategy, taking on hard tasks, persisting in the face of obstacles. And when we do that, the children learn a growth mindset, they enjoy difficulty, and they keep on going.
So if you were talking to a parent of a young child on how to equip their kid for success, what's the first order of business? What do you say to them?
I'd say stop telling your child he or she is brilliant or talented. Make sure they are challenged all the time and that they love challenge. They see challenge as fun. Teach them how to persist on tasks. Boy, that's an interesting mistake. Really interesting. Where should we go now? Teach them to generate new strategies in the face of setbacks.
So in some ways, we should promote failure.
Yes, but within a growth mindset.
Meanwhile, Jeffrey Colvin has one more piece of advice for young people, or parents, dreaming of greatness.
Find what you're passionate about. And the reason is, great performance, as we've said, comes from constantly pushing yourself, typically for hours a day, every single day. The only way you're going to do that is if somehow you have an internal feeling. You have a passion, a drive that comes from inside you. Ultimately, there is no external reward that is going to be sufficient. So the old advice to follow your passion, do what you love, is very sound advice. Now, most kids don't even know what their passion is early. That's fine, as long as they're focused on finding it.
That's Jeffrey Colvin. We also heard from Carol Dweck on what makes a genius.